The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
So today, to bring the word of God to us, is the member of the governing council of GFH. So let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Reverend Kole Olofoye to bring the word of God to us. Let's celebrate God as he comes to take the word.
Amen. Father, we thank you that you are God and you are our Father. We thank you that you are good, you are loving, and all powerful. We rejoice to belong to you. And we rejoice that our places are secure with you. The Lord Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, today anoint the hearers, anoint the speaker. Let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please hear. Please be seated. Amen. Today, by God's grace, we will speak about surprises. Surprises. And we will be starting with Oga Patapata. Who is Oga Patapata? Who is Oga Patapata? Huh? God. The Father and the Son are one. We will start with Jesus. We will start with Jesus. In Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he say it in tongues? It's because it was between him and his Father. It was none of anybody's business. There is no other tongue expressly stated in the Bible. That thing was a question. He was asking the question because he needed an answer. I'll show you the context. Bigger. I'll show you why that happened. We know now he did not know at the point that he asked. And when the scriptures told us earlier in Psalm 22:1, a messianic psalm written by David, under the Holy Ghost. If you read that thing very well, you will see that it contains the anguish of Jesus. His bones, his flesh, his tongue. The things that he went through were written there. He knew those scriptures. But he did not connect. He was not acting. Please get that right. He was not acting. But there was a part of the journey that God deliberately hid from him. Amen. Okay, so why did he forsake him? Some people say, oh, he didn't forsake him. No, he forsook him. No, not by the dying. Jesus knew about the dying. He even said it to his disciples before. He said, I'll be betrayed into the hand of sinners. I will be killed. On the third day, I will rise again. Did he not say that? Did he not say that? And so, the forsaking was not that he was dying on the cross. No, there's another reason for that. If you read 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin. Excuse me. CMM, what's happening? You have those things. What's happening? Yeah, thank you. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was made sin, even though he never sinned. He was made sin. He was treated as the embodiment of human sin, so that we can be treated as righteous. God needed spiritual, legal justification to treat us as righteous, to treat us as the righteousness of God, even when we don't fulfill every element of the law. That was why he forsook him. That was why he forsook him. He turned his back on him. He turned his face away from him. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What is the context of this? I want to show you why it was such a big deal. Now we know. Then he did not know. That was why he asked a question. And that question was coded from everybody there, except the Father that heard it, and except the Holy Ghost that interpreted it. Amen. If you look at John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, therefore also doeth the Son likewise. So, what does this tell you? Huh? Jesus beheld the face of the Father continually, nonstop. He kept seeing the Father, kept seeing the Father's face. All the time, they were beating him mercilessly, tearing his flesh. Whenever he looked, he saw the face of the Father, and the looks of the Father affirmed for him. Affirmed. Confirmed. Reassured. We were not seeing that, but that is what he was experiencing. That was his reality. All the time, that was his reality. But at that time, he looked and the Father was not there for him. There was a separation. It was a momentous spiritual event. The father separated from him, hid his face from him, shielded himself from him, looked down on him with condemnation, treated him as shit, the shit that sin is. Therefore, the father's judgment and justice was executed on him for our sake. For our sake. We are not told how long that was. 5 minutes? 1 hour? We don't know. I think he was on the cross for about 3 hours before he died. But we don't know. But it was the most excruciating. So he asked a question because he was surprised. You have never left me, Father. Why did you leave me now? Is there a part of this thing that I did not do well? Whatever you do, keep your gaze on the Father. Keep your gaze on the Father. He will show you what he is doing. Follow him. Sometimes you will not understand. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my God. And we are complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. We are complete. In him, complete, complete, complete in him, we are complete in him. Amen. He that had the fullness of the Godhead bodily, to whom God gave not the Spirit by measure, he was surprised. Why is this happening? Why? So is it a big deal if you are surprised? Is it a big deal if I'm surprised? This topic was given me by God while he was showing me something as we were praying. And glory be to God. Keep watching him. Keep watching. You know, somewhere they were bringing the sons of Jesse. No, it's not this one. No, it's not this one. No, it's not this one. Excuse me. Are these all that you have? Oh, there's one inconsequential one somewhere there, somewhere in the kidney. The man said, we will not sit down until he comes. He didn't know how far away that boy was. But he said, we will not sit down until he comes. Samuel was walking with the father and seeing what the father was doing. And the father was saying, no, not. Amen. This was the only time while Christ was on earth that he did not know what was going on. It was a complete mystery to him. But now it's been revealed to us, we know. Amen. Glory be to God. But God is still hiding some things from him. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And there are times when, according to Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Amen. Glory be to God. You know, I puzzled a lot over this scripture before God gave me more light. Why have you forsaken me? The fact that he asked is a proof that it is good to know why. Do you understand? If it is not good to know why, he would not have needed to ask. It's good to know why. But you may not fully know why. And that's also in order. You may not fully know why. Jesus knew the things that he would go through. And he was saying it before he went through them. But he did not know that one. The same way, Jesus knows that he's coming back. The signs of the end times are well told to us. But the father did not tell him what time. But the father knows, and he keeps it in his heart. Okay? The father knows, but he keeps it in his heart. There is a possibility that Jesus now knows. But as of that time, he did not. But even the possibility that Jesus now knows, that is a speculation on our part. There is nowhere where the Bible says he would know before coming. So perhaps God will just say to him one day, okay, it's now, go. Okay, it's now, go. When God says, okay, it's now, then it is now. Not before, not after. Let me tell you somebody else that was surprised, apart from Jesus. The man Judas was surprised. What was Judas surprised about? He was surprised that Jesus died. Because many times they had tried to kill Jesus, but what the Bible say? And he will pass through the midst of them. Have you read it? He will pass through the midst of them. They have grabbed him. They were going to throw him down from the cliff edge to a certain death. And he passed through the midst of them. What does that mean? So, Judas was a 419. He was interested in the money. I will trick these people. I will collect the money. When they want to kill him, behold, he will what? He will pass through them. Abi? Magician, Abi? He will pass through them. They will not be able to kill him. And they will come to him. He will say, I've done my own part now. Maybe I've identified him to you in the darkness so that you could go for him directly. I've played my own part, I beg. So when Jesus actually died, The man was flabbergasted. He was shocked to his bones. Can this man die that had been raising the dead so many times? I was there when he raised Lazarus. How could he actually died? Then he said, no, this is not what I bargained for. And he carried the entire money and returned it. They said, that's your own business. Sit out to it. And he said, no. And he cast it into the treasury. They said, no. The price of blood cannot be in the treasury. They used it to buy a place for burying. Is this strangers or something? Yes. Judas was shocked. Many of our calculations are simply not correct. Glory be to God. Nothing changes God. Nothing changes God. Uh-oh. Can you believe that? But I turned off this stuff because I don't use it. You know, I had an experience in which Jesus came to me. I used to go and preach in the secondary schools, and one of the girls had run completely mad. Completely mad. In fact, if you see that madness, you yourself, you'll be afraid. So they sent for me, and I said, with all the training I've given you people, is it only madness that you cannot deal with? What's this? What's your problem now? But in any case, we started ministering to the girl at 11 a.m. None of us stood. We were dealing with her. At 2, one of my children asked me, Brother Banky, that's what they used to call me, said, why hasn't God done something? And I said, God came. God is not the one doing this thing here. We are the ones now. If you send the monkey on an errand, the monkey should not send it still. You understand? We are the one casting out devils. He has passed that one now. We are the ones. Remember when we started? 11. At 2, that's when this girl asked this thing. At 5, we were still at it. That's how many hours? 11 to 5. Huh? Then who is it that comes in but Jesus? He was passing and he was looking very happy with himself. And I looked at him directly, and he looked at me and waved his head and did something like this. He was looking triumphant. I had never before that time done any deliverance of any level beyond 30 minutes. And he was looking triumphant. Well, between 5 and 7, a lot of things happened. But that was the end of it. The girl was perfectly delivered from that madness. Perfectly. So the following day, I was alone in my room. I don't think I was praying. Then Jesus came again. Then I said, excuse me, sir. I wanted to ask that question. What made you so triumphant yesterday when what should not happen was happening? I mean, is that, how many times did you see Jesus spending that kind of time on any matter? Did you ever see it in the Bible? So as far as I was concerned, I had seen what should never have happened. I had seen it. Then he explained to me. He said, the devil came with a challenge. That these are your people that you are so proud about. You are the one shielding me from Shundens and Pepe. Just allow me, I deal with them, and you will see that they will give up. He said, ah. Those ones? He said, yes. Ah. You have my full permission. Go ahead. I know them. Go ahead. That was what happened. That was what happened. But how many people remember somebody called Job? You remember Job? Huh? Do you think Job and those that knew him were surprised at what happened to him? Huh? Okay. Now God finally came. Right? Right? And God finally spoke to Job. Right? And Job actually saw God. Right? Okay. This is a question, and it's not rhetorical. I want you to answer me. Did God explain to Job? Just tell me yes or no. Huh? He did not explain to Job. With all that talking. But God talked for a long time, didn't he? Eh? You said he didn't explain to Job? Eh? Why did he not explain to Job? It was not yet time for that understanding. Amen. Everything has its own time. No, it was not yet time. But later, he explained it by his spirit, and it is now preserved for us. He did not explain to Job. What did he say to Job? What did he say to Job? Anybody knows? He kept pointing to himself. He is the most important answer. His power, his nature, his grace, his wisdom. When you do not understand the plan, focus on the planner. Amen. Focus on the planner. When you don't understand the plan, focus on the planner. Focus on what God says to you. That is your stability. Let me tell you what made me respect Job the most. In the midst of his woes, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And that he will one day stand upon the earth. How at that time, how did that occur to him at that time? How was that paramount in his spirit at that time? That is part of the full and proper knowledge of God. If you cannot focus on God at the times when you do not understand what is happening, you are still a child. Amen. You are still a child. And there's a time when we should grow up and not be children. The father, the mother of Jesus was there at his death. And they were talking. He said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And he handed over his mother to the youngest of his disciples, who followed that boy home and did not return to our own home. According to the records, virtually all the brothers of Jesus were senior in age to John. They were all senior to John. They were the woman's biological children. But Jesus handed so spiritual affinity is senior to physical and blood affinity. Do you understand me? So be careful how you marry and who you marry. Your spiritual affinity is a lot more important than your social fit. You know, those are the kinds of things we look at. Social fit. If this one fine, this one should be fine. When you find person, they fine with ugly person like that. Forget that one. Amen. Glory be to God. Jesus cared very much about the welfare of Mary in his absence. Because before that, he was the head of the family. But you know what? His brothers did not believe in him. I think you know that. Eh? They even said he is beside himself. What does that mean? What does that mean? He is beside himself. What does that mean? Sorry? I didn't hear. Thank you. He is mad. That's what it means. His brothers thought he is mad. Same mother. In court, same father. They thought he is mad. But you know, later they became they became his followers. So there's a time and there's a season. Amen? Glory be to God. I think what I'm going to do, thank God that we have these things recorded. I'm just going to do the first part in this session, and the next one, I just continue the second part. So each part will be complete on its own, but both parts will be more complete together. Amen? So let me just, because I'm going to make sure I keep to time. Okay? Then let me show you one thing that surprised many people. I call that the sinner woman. And I say, who was not a sinner? This person was being called a sinner. Look at it. Luke 7, 36 to 39. That's the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. For one thing, if Jesus was to condemn you for your faults, he wouldn't even deal with a Pharisee at all. Those people were terrible hypocrites. As a class, they were hypocrites. Okay? 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Well, that means she was a sinner above all the others, otherwise nobody will say this person is a sinner because they were all sinners. Am I right? Eh? I don't see anybody and say the person is a sinner. It's not even in my. I just say this person is not born again. I don't see somebody as a sinner. But they say this woman was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought this alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Excuse me. Is that not very strange? Put yourself in the shoes of the people there. What is this? What are you doing? But the woman caught a revelation which the people there did not catch. The woman was seeing into the spirit what the so-called holy people could not see. She saw his identity. She saw his ability. She saw his power. She was actually asking for forgiveness. And she was worshiping. There was a deep interaction between her and God. She understood it. Jesus understood it. The holy people around were totally blank. They had no clue what was happening. What they were seeing was totally condemnable. Okay? Now, when the Pharisee that invited Jesus saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." That toucheth him, for she is a sinner. See? So he began to doubt. I thought this man was a prophet. A prophet will recognize sinners and give them a distance. This one is even allowing himself to be touched. He's not pushing her away. He's not driving her away. Oh, I'm disappointed. So this Pharisee's name is Simon. He was judging both Jesus and the woman. But Jesus answered with a parable about forgiveness, showing that those who are forgiving much, love much. Luke 7, 40 to 47. You can write that down. Luke 7, 40 to 7, 47. Go check that. There was a transaction that was very important going on in the spirit, which Jesus understood, which the woman understood, which all the other people there did not understand. It's beautiful for you to understand God, to understand the things that are happening in the spirit. It's very important. Throw yourself into it. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Seek, and you shall find. Seek God. Seek his understanding. Look at him, what he is doing. Because if you do what is contrary to what he is doing, it will not prevail. It will not prosper in your hands. God had given the land to the Israelites. They refused to take it. They refused to take it. We are in our own house and our eyes as grasshoppers. They refused to take it. Then when it was too late, when it was too late, they now decided to go. What happened? They were defeated. They were defeated. Look at what Jesus is doing. Look at what the Father is doing. Train yourself to be able to look and to see. Sit with God to teach you to look and to see. It is extremely important. The last person that I will talk about in this situation is the lightning before the thunder. Who is that? Who's the lightning before the thunder? That's a question. Who is the lightning before the thunder? John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And he had only one mission. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make way in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked places shall be made straight. Oh, my goodness. John the Baptist. Let's see John. There was a revelation to John before the identification of Jesus. John 1, 32 to 34. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. Oh, my goodness. Is this not the strangest thing? While he was yet a pregnancy, the spirits of the mothers leapt within each other and knew that there was a connection. They were cousins. And I think John the Baptist was possibly 6 months older or something like that. Okay. But he said, verse 33, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me. Ah, oh Lord God. May you be able to say, he that called you, the same said this to you. It's just too important. He said this to me. Upon whom you will see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. And he saw it happen. Okay? So, God said to him, this is how you will recognize who the person is. Because up till that time, he did not know. He was not sure. It is okay for you sometimes not to know, not to be sure. Is that all right? None of us is God. No problem with that at all. No problem. Okay, then the physical confirmation happened. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Okay? You know the story. But that's what happened. The confirmation actually happened. In Luke 3:16, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one, you know the story. Okay, but after all that, Luke 7:18 to 20, the doubt after the confirmation. That one, he shocked me. Don't know whether he shocked you, but the thing shocked me. This man, he said, the disciples of John showed him all these things. John calling unto him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus. Are you the one? Or do we wait for another? Okay? And then you know what Jesus answered. Eh? But the most important thing there, you will see it in that 21 to 23. Jesus said, go and show him all the things that you see. Finally tell him, blessed is he whosoever shall not what? Shall not what? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now put yourself in the shoes of John the Baptist. Jesus, that time when they were going to throw you down the cliff, you passed through the midst of them. They could not kill you. But here I am. You are not even helping me. Don't you care what is happening to me? I have seen you know what is happening in places that you are not in. Are you looking at me like this? Then he began to doubt. That thing of, are you the one, or do we wait for another? John should have been too much for that. Don't you think so? Don't you think so? He should have been too much for that. And it's okay for you to think that you are too much for some things. There was a time I was going to get into one sin like that in my days of widowhood. Then I now said to myself, excuse me, who? From where to where? Me? The same me? How now? I'm too much for this now. There should be some things you should be too much for. Are you the one care? Or do we wait for another care? You know care? How many people know care here? Those that are not Yoruba may not know care. So you will ask them after. They will gladly tell you. Are you the one care? Now, wow. Although John was offended, listen to the testimony of Jesus about him. Eh? He said, from verse 8, what went you out into the wilderness for to see? Let me, you know how to read it now. You can see it yourself. He said, there is no man born of woman that is greater than John the Baptist. No man born of woman that is greater than John the Baptist. But even that same John was not able at that time to stick to the knowledge that God had revealed to him. That was a very dangerous thing. Who knows whether his head would not have been cut off if he had done better? I don't know. Because people who did expertly, bad things still happen to them. Is it not true? But we don't know. We don't know. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, in the things that surprised, some of them were done by God himself. Actually arranged by God. Everything that happened to Joseph, it was God. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to do these particular things. Why did God choose Joseph? I'm telling you, there are characteristics in you that God needs, and he will go out of his way to use those characteristics. Whether you identify yourself fully or not, whether you are sure about your own identity fully or not, Jesus was not deceived about the identity of John the Baptist, despite the fact that John missed it a bit. Do you understand? Do you understand? There were some things that God said to me when I was 17 or 18 years old, and they were just too big to believe. They were just too big to believe, but they have happened exactly the way he said it. I find some of these things very strange. Very strange. There are things that God has said to you, and many times it looks like it can't be. It's not possible. It can't be. No, the things that are happening to you and the things that are happening around you are totally independent of your identity in this walk with God. Your identity is not defined by your circumstances. Do you know that people thought Jesus was finished when his disciples diminished from 70 to 12 on one day? John 6, 60 to 66. His disciples diminished from 70 to 12. And he was still waiting and was looking at the 12 that remained. And he asked them, won't you also go? The ministry and work of Jesus is not determined by the number of people following him. Do you understand? Unlike some that call themselves prophets, he didn't use force on anybody. He didn't use the sword on anybody. Even those that remained, he said, "Will you also go?" Listen to what Peter said. Peter, from what he said, meant he was saying that if not for the other things that I know, I would have left also. Do you understand that's what he said? Eh? He said, "To whom shall we now go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." That was his problem. Yes, and it's good for you to act according to the knowledge that God has given you. Do you understand? I know you have the words of eternal life. That is why I'm still staying. Because all those things that you are saying, complete nonsense. Excuse me, sir, complete nonsense. Except I eat your flesh and drink your blood, I have no life in me. What kind of nonsense is that? I agree with them, but my eyes are still open. I'm not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. Go and read that thing. That's what it means. So I would have left. If I was using common sense, I would have left. But I'm using uncommon sense. You are the Son of God. I know that. There can't be a better place to be than with you. Hallelujah. There can't be a better place to be than with you. So I'm sticking with you. Hallelujah. Hey, make sure you stick with God. Make sure you stick with God. Hallelujah. Let us close our eyes. Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If you would like to give your life to Christ, please raise up your one hand. Raise it up very well. Raise up your hand very well. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you have been struggling with God, and God has opened your eyes for stability, and you know in your spirit that you should make a fresh start and a fresh commitment to God, raise up your hand, please. You had been struggling with God over some matters, and now you feel like you need to make a fresh start. Raise up your hand, please. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord, reveal yourself to your people. Let them see what you are doing, what you are saying, for their own sake, for their own benefit. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Glory be to God.